Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Jeremy Scott Fitness Podcast Radio Show, coming to you on this Friday, February the 9th, 2024. Hopefully it finds you staying safe and staying sweaty all at the same time. On today's episode, we are talking business, why your business isn't growing, what it's like to be an entrepreneur, all things business and all things not business, because that's just how we roll here. Real quick, couple housekeeping things before I kick off. One, Jeremy Scott Fitness app is live. Obviously, thousands of you guys are in there. We appreciate you. But if you have never checked it out and you're looking to do something new and you want something to follow along at your house, on the road, or in the gym, JeremyScottFitness.app would give you guys a week for free. We have 13 programs in there now. I think the fat loss finishers are coming actually this week. There's 1,000 other videos in there as well. Full follow along mobility flows, nutritional content, and anything you request gets uploaded in there. Plus, my weekly workouts get in there every single week for you guys in real time. So if you want to check it out, JeremyScottFitness.app gets you a week for free. Then you guys can stay on for a couple of pennies a day if you dig it. And then real quick, shout out to our homies at Just Meats. Right now, I think they're going to give you guys 25% off your first order and throw in a bunch of chicken breast as well on top of that. Now, again, if you guys don't know, these are the weekly meals that Heather and I use at our house, probably 4 or 5 nights a week. It's just quick, efficient, it's easy, it's grass-fed, it comes from a family ranch in Utah. You can freeze it, you can put it in the fridge, it doesn't matter, but it tastes amazing. There's a lot of offerings that I would never make on my own, like teriyaki beef or like the Texas-style brisket, or honestly, any of the pork stuff, because my skill set is basically grill steak and ground beef. Or turkey is what I do. So if you guys want to check it out, links in the show notes, justmeats.com/discount/Jeremy15. I think right now you can get 25% off your first order, and then obviously subsequently they'll give you 15 off after that forever. And if you have a question on a specific cut, please reach out. I'm happy to answer that for you guys. And then obviously check my Instagram stories for some of the recipes and the stuff we'll be putting on reels as well. And then real quick, you already know the one thing I take every single day, and I never fucking miss, AG1, my friends. Drinkag1.com/JeremyScott gets you guys a year's supply of free vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with order one. But if you want a free sample, shoot me a message. I don't care where you live. We will mail it right to your front door. You can try it for free if you like it. Then get hooked up with all the free stuff from there. Again, being healthy is tough, but it shouldn't be. And I've been taking this daily for almost, I think, 7 years at this point. It's not just a multivitamin. It's beyond that. Prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes, magnesium, there's B vitamins in there, adaptogens, vitamin C, zinc, you name it. For immune health, overall function, again, if you're not going to eat 10 to 12 servings of fruits and veggies every day, this would be the thing I would take and throw into my life. So if you're looking for like a foundational nutritional supplement, if you're only going to buy one thing, this would be the thing that I would buy. It can be an easy thing to throw into your day. It's probably the easiest health hack you do other than walking and trying to get quality sleep and just drinking water. This would be right up there. Obviously, you got to eat real food, but this takes all of 20 seconds, and everything else takes a substantial amount of time. So hit us up for a free sample. Otherwise, if you guys want the free stuff today, drinkag1.com/JeremyScott gets you all of the freebies right off the bat. Links in the show notes, as well as all our other sponsors here, Sleep Sold Separately, our friends at JLab Pro, Dry Farms Wine, and who am I forgetting? Kettle and Fire Bone Broth. Boom. Done, done, and done.
Whoa.
3 minutes and 30 seconds. That's fast.
Does Just Meats have buffalo?
Do they have buffalo?
Bison?
I think so, yeah. And then they have a ground. They just did a bunch of ground stuff, too, which we tried the other day. That comes like a little bit of season, but then we did our own. But the teriyaki beef is probably my favorite. The Texas brisket is my favorite. Any of the... They do a chicken... like a Hawaiian style chicken too. I just think chicken sucks itself. Yeah. So I do like it how they do it, and the pork too, because I'm just pork seems complex to me, like how they do like a pulled pork or something. Like I'm assuming it's a decent amount of time.
So they ship all this to you. It's already cooked. And you just throw it in a skillet and
yeah, it takes like 2 minutes.
Nice,
legitly. Especially the if you do brisket or you do some of the beef stuff, it doesn't take very long.
Yeah,
you don't overcook that shit. And they send all the marinades too.
And you just cut up your own vegetables, rice, whatever you want to have with it.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, we do it because it's, A, I'm lazy for one.
Yeah.
But two, it's like to do cauliflower rice and that takes all 2 seconds. Or yeah, like frozen green beans, you name it.
Right. It's like, oh, it's so hard to be healthy. It's like, no, it's really not.
No, there are solutions out there. Like, is it cheap? No, but like what McDonald's is like $15.
Yes. So my handyman was at the house the other day and he's like, yeah, I went to McDonald's the other day. I'm never going again. I go, what's wrong? The hamburger not good? He's like, no, it cost $18 for a hamburger and fries. Like, the fries was like $9.
No shit.
Yeah.
I think I saw that somewhere where it was like, it was substantially more than, well, again, I ate McDonald's once in the past 15 years, I think, after the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
My legs hurt so fucking bad, dude.
That's all there was.
Yeah, well, we drove, because we got done at like 2 in the morning, and we drove back, Jeff, Emily, Heather, and I drove back.
Yeah.
And I remember I got to their house, and I got in my car, and I'm starving, because I haven't eaten in God knows how long. And I remember it being like, it's probably like 6 a.m., and my choices are like, okay, I can go to Fry's and like walk around and get eggs and do whatever, but my legs were just trash, and the weather was shitty, and I was just being a, for lack of a better term, being a pussy. And I'm like, let me just roll through McDonald's and get these, like, you know, sausage egg McMuffins. And I'm like, the best.
It's the best.
They were so fucking good. I'm like, these are the greatest things of all time. They probably really weren't, but like in the moment they were. But that's the last time like I have been to McDonald's, other than when I drove out here to move here 15 years ago. We stopped at one in Blackwell, Oklahoma, because it's a 24 hours, and that was the only thing that was open.
Yeah.
So I didn't know McDonald's was insanely expensive to be, no offense, like, it's not the greatest of the fast foods, in my opinion.
No, the last time I had McDonald's, I remember this, was when my wife and I were still kind of courting each other, and this was back in my drinking days.
Oh, yeah.
She only got to experience a little bit of part of that. And we just got shit-faced in Flagstaff, Arizona. So you have the altitude on top of this beautiful hotel room that I bought her. And I'm being sarcastic. This is a sarcastic voice. Literally, you would look out the back of the hotel window, and it was basically like a wall mound of dirt with garbage. And she was like, oh, thank you so much for splurging, right?
It's definitely not a Marriott.
It was horrible. Yeah. No, not a Marriott. I'm not very good at picking hotels. So we Ubered to downtown Flagstaff. We went and partied at, God, what was it? It was just one of those nightclub bars or whatever. And I'm doing my dance moves, and we're getting it on. And we get back to the hotel late. And we're just drunk as skunks. I'm hungover. She's hungover. Next day, McDonald's. Best tasting food I ever had.
I mean, that's like, I feel like that's, it's weird because it's like the only time I would feel people would eat these things. Yeah, I drive by like here on Scottsdale Road on Shea.
Yeah.
There's a McDonald's. There's two lines, bro.
Yeah.
And it's like 20 cars deep in both lines.
Okay, when did that happen though? The two line drive through. Do you remember that? I mean,
not as a kid, no. We never had that. I do remember it would be weird though. You would have an abundance of like the same restaurant. Like you'd have like three McDonald's in like a 10-mile radius, which seems excessive, but I guess that's what they do.
Well, Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's so many choices, too. But, yeah, the two lines. There's another one, like Arcadia. There's a Chick-fil-A. They always have two lines.
Yeah.
It's like 50 cars deep in each, and I'm like, Jesus, dude.
They do. Again, this is a conspiracy theory, but what I heard is that they do close to about $7 million out of that Chick-fil-A, and they're closed on Sundays.
Did you know?
It's a lot of chicken, dude.
To get a franchise is super hard.
Yeah.
Like insanely hard.
You have to be a descendant of Jesus.
Pretty much. Well, I don't want to, like, so there's a guy here that almost, because they're super profitable, by the way.
Yeah.
Like if you are like one of the franchise people who like runs the Chick-fil-A, like you make real money.
Yeah.
Like if you're the guy. But to be the guy, it's like the super detailed process to go through to like apply. And they ask you all these personal questions, I think like about everything in your life, like belief systems, everything, like you name it, it's in there. And he made it like close to the end, but he didn't make it all the way through the process.
What was the, did he say what the wrong question?
What
he thought?
He's Jewish. I don't know if that's why he didn't make it.
Wait, you're not Christian? You're not getting it.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a thing, but he just said, he goes, it's really, really complex. And I remember he shared with me, there's a dude, I think he owns two of them. And he said, he's like, yeah, the amount of revenue they do is insane.
Yeah.
But then his cut is fucking substantial. And even the people like In-N-Out Burger, which Heather has, I think like the people who just manage it are six-figure people.
Wow.
Just at In-N-Out Burger.
Well, they treat them right. They have good quality product and lines out the door.
Yeah, it's crazy. And But I didn't know all these things cost that much.
Well, I heard the same about Dutch Brothers. So, I mean, you look at Dutch Brothers, they need like a two-lane sort of thing because you'll drive by one of those at certain times of day.
Oh, dude.
And there'll be a line of cars out into the to the onset of traffic towards detrimental. I had a close personal friend actually close down a Dutch Brothers in Central Phoenix because it was inhibiting her business. Yeah.
It was right. It's literally like Central.
Like Camelback and Central.
Yeah, because I would drive by. There's an AJ's down there. My old condo used to be down there.
Yeah. You know what it is now? It's a bum house. Like, literally, it's all spray painted. It's bad.
Seems legit.
Totally.
Yeah, Dutch Brothers is a legit business, too, because there's the one that is... hold on. What up? You might be. What is it called? 7750 Suite 6. No. We're 106. You're cool. Yeah, no worries. Yeah. Just so you guys know, we're on a podcast live, and some lady walked in the door. That's why I say we should always lock the front door here, and people think I'm fucking crazy. It happens all the time. Even when I'm working out earlier today, I'm out here back pushing a sled. Some guy comes in the back door and is asking me about this place. And, like, what was she even asking for? What did you say, Emmett?
Oh, is that what the guy was earlier?
Yeah. So earlier today, this podcast is making no sense. Earlier today, I was outside pushing a sled like I tend to do. My day is just fucked today. I have no time to do anything. it sucks. I'm really actually, I have anxiety about it, and I'm super annoyed right now. But I'm pushing a sled, and I have like 25 minutes. And this guy, bless his heart, super nice, is like driving around back there, and I'm trying to like avoid him. I have this giant fucking torque sled and trying not to run into him. And then he's just staring at me for the longest time and then just walks in. He's like, you guys do like fitness here? I'm like, I have a German Scott fitness shirt on, pushing. So I'm like, yeah, bro. He's like, I see people out here all the time, like running around and doing stuff. I think he trains actually like right next door. And so he wanted a bunch of information. So he just impeded on my workout, which is fine. It's business. That's what we do. We're here to make money, not for me just to exercise. But my point being, that's why we lock the doors here, front and back, because people show up here basically 15 different times a day, all day, and we can't get anything done. And so now you heard me talk to some random lady off the street, who I don't even think was here for fitness, by the way.
You literally just said that as we were starting this podcast, like, I should probably lock that. Nah, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And somebody walks in.
Never is, dude.
I mean, that right there is, that's manifestation.
In like a bad way.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Because when Stephen Cole was here, Bitcoin, there was a guy trying to open the door 10 times, and then there's a buzzer you can ring, and so then he's ringing the buzzer, but then you can see me, but I'm like, I'm trying not to say like, hey man, come back later.
Yeah.
So here we are.
All right. Well, here we are.
That's business, everybody.
Well, we were having fun about Dutch Brothers and, oh wait, one other place. So
Dutch Brothers is great, by the way.
Dutch Brothers is great, but have you seen that new place called Swizzle or Swift or what? Swig.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Swig. So it's like about a Dutch Brother size, maybe half. And again, I know this podcast will be about business, so we'll kind of talk business. And we're going to start with the business of sugary drinks, right? So I'm at Press Coffee the other day, and I see this guy walk in, hand this drink that says Swig on it to I don't know, probably late high school girl that's kind of sitting next to me. And I look at her, I say, hey, is that place any good? And she's like, it's the best. And I go, what's in there? And she goes, oh, it's a ton of sugar with the Dr. Pepper and cream and, you know, candy canes. And I was like, really? And it's like, there's lines all around this place.
It's it's like a Dutch, it's like a drive up.
Yeah, but more sugary.
There's Heather showed me a place too that was like super, it looked like a super trendy, like fancy coffee place that she liked too. It has nothing to do with this conversation, but
no.
I just thought of it too.
It's no bikini beans. But, you know.
If you just drink coffee, dude, just drink coffee, bro. Keep it simple. So yeah, here we are talking shit about business people, entrepreneurs, working for the man, working for yourself, whatever it may be.
All that good stuff. So why don't we start and why don't we talk about...
By the way, Dave DiLorenzo's here, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
15 minutes in.
15 minutes in, the D-Lo is here. The 50-year-old D-Lo. So this is my first time being on the podcast at 50.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks. And then this is my fourth appearance on the podcast. I might be your...
You've been on four. BJ's been on, I think, four. Colleen's been on.
Yeah. Heather doesn't count because she's...
Yeah, Alexia's been on. We've had quite a few repeats, but yeah, you're getting up there.
Very cool.
Coming a regular.
Yeah. So why don't we talk about what we've embarked on the beginning of this year, that being the mastermind and the start of it, and what was the antithesis of it? What made you – I'm going to ask you. I'm going to podcast you for a minute. What was the antithesis for you to start your own mastermind?
I mean, like, honestly, it's like every progression, right? Like, just how you guys – if you think about fitness, like, there's different eras and there's different times of how you train. So when you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 – it's going to evolve. You can like the same things. You can want to do the same stuff. But just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. And so there's an evolution that's there. And to the point of where I don't know where any of this goes. Like, and I'm the first one to say it. And if you run a business and you're like, I know exactly what it'll be like in 5 years. I'm like, you're full of shit, dude. The technology moves so fast and life, you know, throws you curveballs every other week. So who knows? But it's like, I'm to the point where there's certain things I don't want to do as much anymore, but also I've done a lot of these things because I've been doing this since I was a young kid in my 20s, and now I'm over 40 fucking years old, and it's like I've acquired enough knowledge to be able to help people replicate the process if they're just willing to follow the put the pieces in play. And I'm like, if I can do that, I'm like, hey, it obviously selfishly it makes money, but more importantly, it's like how we train, it's how we coach. So instead of hey, me walking you through how to do split squats, which I've done for 20 years, This is a little bit, I don't want to say higher level, but it's just a different avenue and it's more fun. And it's something I can do without actually having to just be here. And it's something I can do that's not, no offense, it's not just fitness. Because if I only had to do podcasts talking about pushing sleds or protein powder, like, dude, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Like, I know some people love that and it's cool. And I do love it too, but it can't be the only thing for me.
Don't you feel so far, we're about a month and a half into the mastermind, and I feel it gives me a sense of completion as a human, as a business person, as something different, as much as we're giving to them. And you can feel, you know, the vibes of the people and the amount of information that they're getting. And, you know, we talk to them all the time and it's like, wow, thank you for this. And it's funny because for me, being, you know, 5 decades into my life now and, you know, running a successful business for 25 years, you finally, like you said, it's the natural progression. You get to that point where, yeah, you want to be able to share that knowledge and help others and, you know, create this group of just like you would say, serial killers.
Well, yeah, it's like if you're in fitness, right? Like you want to get in shape, like if you have a goal and accountability and a coach, you'll get there faster. It's the same thing in business. Like I've learned so much from groups that I've been a part of and people that I've been, again, I just feel very fortunate in my space to have walked across all these people. When I walk across them, like when I met a David Jack, you know, at this time, I met a BJ Gadura at this time and we became friends. And it's like a lot of people don't have that. They're not going to have that luxury. They're not going to get the same timing opportunities that I had. I'm like, but you also don't need them if you can get someone to help you kind of shortcut your way and not make the 50 stupid mistakes that I've made. And that's why, again, you have a coach. It's why you have a CPA. It's why you have a financial advisor. It's why you have a real estate agent. It's why you have a dentist. Like you can do a lot of things by yourself, but when you rely on the expertise of others, you're going to get there a whole hell of a lot faster. And you're typically going to get further than you'd ever get on your own.
Yeah. And it creates that sense of community. Like you said, having a coach, I mean, for me, over the years, I've been a part of these big groups like EO and, you know, and you get into these almost like fraternal groups of people. And sometimes those are, you know, it wasn't for me. I like the one-on-one sort of stuff. So, you know, like I've trained with you for 8 years. I have a calisthenics coach. I have 2 mindset coaches. I mean, I have all these people that have been an integral part of my life to help me develop because I know at the end of the day, we all really need somebody to talk to. And a lot of times with what I'm learning, when a lot of, you know, the people in the mastermind talk to me, they just need somebody to listen and somebody to reaffirm that what they're thinking, that next step is like the correct next step for them to take, just so that they'll take that leap.
Well, yeah. And I think everybody, like if you're going to leave your corporate job or you're going to start a business or you're an entrepreneur or you have entrepreneurial tendencies or you have a small, medium sized business, whatever, you're better off if you have a group of people who are going through similar things and you can be a sounding board. And even if it's not a question you would have asked, but somebody else asks it, and then now you can see, okay, yeah, I can actually implement that into my business. And I actually was doing this and now I can do this. Or that's a book I never heard of. Or that's a resource. Or that's, you know, something I never talked about in terms of taxes or, you know, insurance or you name it. Like that alone is worth the benefit. Because a lot of people, again, there's no playbook for any of this shit. Mm-hmm. Like we're all making it up as we go. I go, but the longer you've done it, you kind of have essentially a system, you know, to A, run your business, but to generate leads and nurture a community and all these things. And that's really, it's hard to do organically if it's not in your natural skill set. And again, we're all talented at certain things, and there's certain things I, you know, sucked at. So at learning about, you know, here's your offers, here's your multifaceted referral system, here's how you predict like a pipeline, like all of these things, those are that's terminology and shit that is not natural to me. I was just like a fitness person and I had to learn that in other groups. And a lot of people, if you're listening, like, I'd really like to start my own business, or I'd really like to, you know, kind of change gears. You can go at it solo, but you're always going to be better if you have somebody's footsteps you can follow with.
Yeah. And the noise, I think what a mastermind group will do, I think anything will actually block out a lot of the noise. There's a ton of noise out there, and people, for whatever reason, will get online. They'll get on Instagram. They'll get on TikTok. They'll find the, you know, 18-year-old business coach, you know, all these sorts of things. And then they'll just start kind of going down these rabbit holes that may not be the best as far as those people having experience or having made the mistakes or anything like that. And what I feel about, like, with a group like this is that and not just us leading the group, even groups that I've been in or people that are giving back into the group, that you're not selling anything. You're already in a group. You're in there to really help each other, and you want them to have a good experience and to achieve. So it's not kind of like, you know, you're leading yourself blindly by just looking at some sort of advertisement that you're getting online.
No, and I think when you see a lot of stuff out there, if you're somebody who wants to do this, there is so much that's just thrown at you in terms of, hey, this course, this conference, this group on YouTube or Instagram or wherever. And I've shared the story on here before. I remember being gifted tickets to Tony Robbins, and the dude sitting next to me wanted to get into real estate. And the Tony Robbins stuff, they're really good about changing your state and getting you, you know, into a mood to do certain things. It's the most genius setup I've ever seen in terms of that. And what I mean is, like, when you argue with your wife, you don't do it laying down in bed. You do it sitting up, standing, your hands are on your hips, you're walking. You have to be in a certain state to fight somebody. You don't fight someone, like, laying on the ground relaxed, you know, after acupuncture. You do it, like, in this heightened state. And that's what they do really well there. They get people hyped up to buy in. And the guy sitting next to me is like, hey, maybe I should do the you know, Tony Robbins business coaching. And I think it was like $10,000 to get into the program. And I'm like, he's like, what do you think? And again, you sit next to these people for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And I just look at him and I'm like, bro, you don't do anything in the space now. So maybe just research a little bit. And I said, if you want to do this, here's my info. There's five other groups I can get you in contact with that cost a fraction of the price, and they'll actually fucking talk to you, and they'll actually give you access to their resources, where, no offense, you're not talking to Tony Robbins for 10 grand.
No.
You're not even going to be in the same state as him, where with these other groups, like, yeah, is that as sexy to work with, you know, me versus him? Well, obviously it's not. I go, but you can talk to me. I can give you access to my resources. I can actually walk you through what I did and how I did it. And to me, that's more beneficial than these, you know, kind of like, hey, here's how you drive a Ferrari in 3 months. Because most of those things are bullshit, and they're not real. And sometimes they are, for sure. And if that's what you want to do, then that's great. I go, but if you want, like, hey, here's how you work really hard. Here's the systems you can implement. Here's the things that we've done. That's what I can deliver and we deliver. And I think for most people, that's a way more realistic route to go than the super flashy, like, here's me sitting on the, again, do you know how easy it could be for me to do this fucking bullshit? Like, we're right next to the Scottsdale Airport. We have clients who have jets. I could be like, hey, Ken, can I use your jet, dude, for like 3 hours? And I'd be like, hey, Rebecca, can I drive your, you know, Rolls Royce? And they would gladly do it. We have clients here. They're like, hey, Jeremy, do you want to drive my Rolls today? I'm like, no, I don't want to drive your fucking Rolls. I'm too paranoid. I don't want to scratch it. And like, something bad happened. I go, but if I was like, hey, can I use your jet? Can I use your car? Can I use your house? I could film all this stuff. I could create the sense of, like, this is actually my life and present that to people. and snake oil scam them out of money. Now, it's not true, though. It's not really what I do. And even if it was, it wouldn't be like who I am, and it's not how we built these things. And so we try to do it in a way of being authentic, where when you're looking at the marketplace, there is a lot of scam type shit that's out there. Or again, it's capitalism. I'm a fan of it. Make your money how you make it. But just know those, you know, hey, I'm going to do this, and in 3 months or 6 months or a year, you know, I'm going to have $10 million. That's not realistic, and that's not how most small businesses work or run.
You know who has $10 million is Tony Robbins.
Oh, B with a billion.
Yeah.
He's got $10
billion. I guess the point being is that Tony Robbins is brilliant.
He's great.
He's a business.
Dude, he's the best. Like, how do you describe it? Like, I've been to a lot of speakers. Like, Eric Thomas, I think, is a great speaker. E.T.'s probably like my favorite that I've seen in person. But E.T. doesn't have a Vegas show.
Yeah.
Tony Robbins is a fucking Vegas show.
No, it is. And this is kind of what I'm alluding to. I paid the money. I took my business partner. Okay. This was
Unleash the Power Within.
Yeah, Unleash the Power Within.
Walk on Fire.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we go to Vegas. We're all hyped up. We're there. We're early. We're in line to get in. And I gotta tell you, he lost me at day two. I was like, I can't do this. I cannot. So we left early. Yeah. Left. I paid all this money. I don't know what it was, but it was a lot.
A couple G's a ticket. Yeah.
And I just couldn't do it. You know, they start grouping you up with people that are all hyped and amped, and I'm just kind of like, I got to go to bed. Like, I'm not going to work on a project till 9 at night. I go to bed at 8. This is not good. So I show up for my last morning, and I go there. And it wasn't Tony Robbins speaking. It was all of these other, you know, men and women speaking on these products that you could buy. You know, get into this program for another, you know, $4,000. Get into the platinum level for 10, you know. And I was like, this is brilliant. This is what a sales job. But it wasn't resonating. And then we got a phone call that two of the girls in our office got in a fist fight. And so I packed my bags and we left so that I could save the company. Yeah.
That's real business.
That's real business.
Yeah. No, those are great things, but it's, to me, there is really good books, there is really good products, there's a lot of stuff that I've invested in and extracted the information, but nothing like a continuity group that I've been a part of. Even to this day, like, if Matt Sizemore is listening, like, I met Matt in my mastermind group like 10 years ago, and I've used him ever since. And like, my dude, you know how... And I mean this, like, I would be so fucked if he, like, dropped dead tomorrow. Like, there's things I don't even know how to do. Like, we literally just, and we'll talk about, you know, business mistakes here in a second and things you can do to rectify it. But this last week, we've been moving our website over from where it was housed for, like, 10 years. Mm. And my website guy, BJ knows him. He's the fucking worst. And anyways, Matt is helping me migrate the entire site over from one hosting to another, which is a giant pain in the ass, and to make sure everything is working. And without him, like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I have absolutely no clue. When we have to do things to certify our emails so they can actually still go out, like, Infusionsoft had this huge undertaking where it's like, hey, if you don't do this, you can't send emails to Google Gmail emails or Yahoo emails, which is a huge part of what we do. Like, he does all that for me. And my point of that is, like, I met this guy 10 years ago in this group. And I still work with him to this day. And there's a couple of other guys that I still talk to this day. And so to me, that is way more beneficial than, you know, just a course or just a book, which is great. I go, but the relationships you can build, because you're all building businesses together. And the only reason I'm sitting here and I can talk here is because some girls interviewed me on a podcast and walked me through how to set up a podcast. Like, it literally is just a group share, and it's all community connection stuff.
Yeah, I remember that. Actually, congratulations on utilizing your board
that you bought me. Thank you.
It's a
for Christmas.
Beautiful
was
board.
It Christmas? My birthday? I don't even know.
I think it was for your 40th, maybe.
Yeah, it's nice.
The goat. Yeah, I mean, look, man, it's about relation. You know, for me, my whole living has been based on relationships. You know, you and I obviously have different personalities. But I think that's what really makes us fitting together, you know, especially running a group together, because I'm kind of more that salesman, outspoken, just, you know, say it as it is, but you're also say it as it is, but it's like, you're also kind of like cool, leave me alone, you know, that sort of thing, you know?
Yes.
And, but it's great because it's, you don't want, in my opinion, you don't want two of the same people because that can be just overpowering and overwhelming. And I think that works, you know, in groups. But going back to the whole, you know, the mindset of business, for me, it was about, I have relationships that I've had for 20 plus years. I have some of the same clients that I signed up 20 something years ago that I've invested in restaurants. I've written their insurance for this whole period of time. We've become friends. And then through those friendships have developed other friendships because you have that like-mindedness about not just business, but, you know, personality-wise. We know, you know, the authenticity of how each of us work, therefore we want to introduce each other to other people of that same authenticity, and then you kind of grow your empire, you know, from there. And experience and time, it does matter. It does matter because you are different from when you are 20 to when you are 30 to 40 to 50 to even, you know, 60 and 70. And I think, you know, in my dad's case, you get to a point where you're 70 and you're like, I'm out. Not doing this anymore.
Is
that crazy?
It's so long, man. Like, I think you always do. Again, people are like, oh, you would be bored. I'm like, no, man. Like,
you find something.
There's a lot of stuff I'd like to do that has nothing to do with a lot of the shit that we do here. But if you're in the building phase of it or you're in it, the community aspect of it is everything to me. And it's why it would be hard. Like, I don't know how you ever, even if you're in a digital space, if you have people in your geographical proximity, to leave them would be tough because you've built this entire community. And I think if you look at anybody who's been successful in a small to medium-sized business, especially if you are somewhere, it is the people that you work with and it's the people that you've met, and it becomes your network. It's everything, because people who crush want to work with other people who crush. It's just, you know, iron kind of sharpens iron, but like-minded people want to be around like-minded people. So people vouch for you, you vouch for them, you all become part of this network and this community. And even if it's people in your space, I think a lot of people who start off, like, you know, if you're not, you know, part of, you know, this, if it's in fitness, right, and you're not in this fitness circle or this fitness circle, people tend to maybe like talk shit about them. I go, but honestly, like becoming friends with them and just learning from each other and vouching for each other, I go, you're way better off than like trying to, you know, kind of pick enemies and not have people in your circle. And that's what we've done here locally, and it's what we do online. Like, you follow people you like, you comment on their stuff, like you support their work, they support your work. That is everything. And then you build everything off of that. And a lot of people, I guess, at least when they start off, maybe miss that step and say, well, I need every client. And like, you don't. Every client's not for you. You can't work with every single person. And there's a better fit other places. And that's a big step for a lot of people to take when they first begin anyway.
Well, every client is not for you. That is definitely a lesson that I have learned over time. Not everybody resonates with your energy or the way that you do business, or maybe their priorities are a little bit different, good or bad, than what you're able to offer or willing to offer because of how your, let's just say, how your morals, you know, are in line. But I hear this a lot, and I even hear it within myself sometimes, where, you know, I'll come home to my wife and I'm, you know, maybe it's one of these days that I've just had a shitty day and I'm just like, bitching about their bill, you know, I sell insurance for a living, you know, and I'm so down on myself about it because here I am, I'm just like, I'm better than this, you know, and then she has to reel me back and be like, hey, you know, listen, jackass, you've established a really good business over time and you're just upset in the moment. You know, because I'm always like, I'm quitting everything. I'm just going to go live on a farm. And she's like, you're going to have problems doing that too, just because of the way that your mindset is and how you are. So what I've had to be able to learn to do is realize that what I've established is not, quote unquote, my identity per se. It's just a part of, you know, what I've put together in order to network, create a living, create, you know, friendships, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, the ancillary effect of that is I make money through selling a product that everybody has to have, you know. But, and a lot of times I'll talk to you and you're just like, yeah, you know, got this gym, just kind of doing the gym thing, you know, teaching people how to do jumping jacks. And sometimes I'll look at you and be like, God, dude, that'd be great. That'd be great if I could just come in here and teach people. You know what I'm saying? You know,
dude.
And it's not what you do, but it's what you do. And, you know, but actually, I don't think you've ever looked at me and said, that'd be great if he comes out.
I mean, I'll take like the reoccurring money,
right?
Like, that'll take. There but it's like, I think that's for everybody who listens. Like, if you're in corporate America or you run your own business, especially if you're past like the novice beginner stage, it's just, you're a normal person. Habituation is a real thing. Shiny things get dull, and you do something long enough, you're just kind of like questioning, like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, even BJ Kador posted a great video today of just like, you know, he's filming himself and he's just like, after doing the thousands and thousands of videos, I'm just asking myself, like, why am I even doing this? Like, who even cares? And I joke about this on here a lot, where maybe it was like last week, I'm in here on like a Tuesday morning. It's like this 6 o'clock group that's here, and I still coach some of the groups here in person. And it's like 6:07 in the morning, and nobody's listening to me. Like, nobody gives a shit that I'm even talking. And I'm just sitting there like, and this girl Bree's like, oh, you know, Jeremy, you can just yell at us if you need to. And I'm like, you're 10 years too late for me to give a shit about that. And, you know, joking, like, obviously they appreciate that we're here in the community and all the stuff, and people do appreciate the podcast and the things we write and do. But even I question it more often than not. And my wife will do it a lot. And she's like, what am I doing? I've been working at this company for almost 16 years. I've been in this similar role for X amount of time. Should I try to do this? Should I try to do that? And I'm like, I don't have the answer for her, just like I don't have the answer for me. It's like, there's certain things I like to do. There's certain things I don't like to do. But at the end of the day, it's like, you just have to kind of look in the mirror and be like, well, you are an adult. Unless you have like $10 million, you do probably have to show up and go to work, and you do need money, and you do have to have a purpose. So if you can find something better and more fun, that's great. But just know, no matter what you do, whether you work for somebody else or you work for yourself, you're going to have moments where you question your sanity and question like the purpose of what the fuck you're even doing. Like, and what does it matter? Like, again, a post on Instagram, how many times so far? I'm going to guess 5,000 and what? 5,581 times.
Wow.
And today I just did a video on what I do. Split squats and goblet squats and like a deadlift. And it's in a circuit and it's a time format. It's like, who gives a shit? Like, who even cares that I'm doing that? But
somebody does.
People do care.
Yeah.
And it will help people, and it will motivate them, and it does inspire them. And so just know, if you're in that space in your career in corporate America, you can change and do something different. If you're an entrepreneur and you're doing something, you can change and do something different. But also know, even if you're doing like what you like to do, like I do love fitness, I do love being active. It's the closest thing to being a pro athlete, in my opinion, for, you know, old people like us. You're going to have moments of like, again, because it's just the nature of life, dude. It's just, you get kind of the groundhog day a little bit. Even if you do fun new things, I go, this is the 578th podcast, dude. Like, it's just part, and they're fun.
Well,
but it is a job.
To me in business, I think having a niche and being that go-to person, whether it be, you know, fitness, whether it be, you know, the best sushi restaurant, whether it be the insurance broker that specializes in hospitality, I think there's a lot to be said for that. And yes, it's mundane. It's the mundane reality of repetition, repetition, repetition. And you're right. I mean, so, you know, people call me and I'll be reiterating Arizona state liquor laws and how claims happen, and over again. I'm like, here we go. Same conversation over. And believe it or not, there's tons of people on a weekly, you know, monthly basis that have no idea how it works. I mean, people that have run restaurants for years that are like, oh, wait a minute, I can get sued for over serving somebody. Well, oh, wait a minute, they can come after me. And I'm just like, you know, here I am, my 5 millionth conversation about it. But then I revert back, and I'm kind of proud of the fact that I've invested so much of my time. Like, I'm deep, you know, I'm in, you know, there's no pulling me out of this at this point in my life. I'm, you know, for God's sakes, I'm halfway dead. So I'm going to take it in, and what I've had to do is take away the things within my business that I don't want to do anymore. And as I was explaining, you know, to somebody the other day, I said, look, part of my business model is to provide people with quotes. So they will call me, they'll give me a bunch of information, and they're going to be like, hey, what's your rate? And I'm like, hey, I need these other answers. Hey, I need to know what this claim was about. It's showing on your loss record, which is basically, it's another word for, to compare it to like a motor vehicle record. Okay, if you have a speeding ticket and you have a at-fault accident, you're probably not going to get as good of a rate as somebody that has nothing on their record, right? Clean record.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. So it's the same in hospitality insurance. If you've got a liquor claim where somebody was quote unquote overserved and the insurance company paid out $500,000 to $1 million on that claim, that's on your MVD record. So, or your loss run in this case. And so what will happen is, is when they go to shop for insurance and they look somewhere else, that new company is going to look at it and say, well, we need to evaluate this risk. How do they run their business? What's been paid out on claims? Do they have a ticket? So we got to collect all this information, do all this stuff. And what I've had to do in the most recent years is really pull myself away from all that stuff because that, you know, and it's been a blessing that I've been successful enough to hire the right people, put the right people in positions and let them kind of work their way into, you know, what they feel is best position for them. And that's really to take care of all the bullshit that I don't want to deal with anymore. So I haven't done a quote in probably 10 years. I like you, a size. Now I could probably get in there and figure it out, be a complete waste of everybody's time. But at the end of the day, I couldn't even log into one of the carriers that we have to input a quote. I don't even know what my login is, you know? So it's being able to parlay that and have that business at this point in my career be able to run itself, but me to be kind of the master of the business or the advisor, you know, to the people that call and kind of tell those stories.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the biggest mistake people make is you have to like what you do. And there's always going to be parts of it you don't like, but the point of all of this is to offload the things that you're not good at and you don't like to people who are better at it than you. And you can pay them to do that once the business becomes profitable enough. And I do think the way that the world is, like there's going to be a huge, and I don't know where the tech goes because it's moving so, so fast. But I do think there's going to be more entrepreneurs and more people working through themselves and running these like, you know, one-off, you know, one-man kind of shows than ever before in the next probably 5 to 10 years, just because how, if you think about how the tech will automate and get rid of a huge number of people in jobs, which is kind of funky. And that's why when I talk about that, I'm like, find things that you like to do and find things that kind of fit your personality and your skill set, and that solve a problem for other people. So even if like, you know, hey, we do fitness differently on the internet, in my case, I think there's always a place for people to come train in person if I wanted to do so. Like, I don't think that ever goes away. There's a community piece to it. People are always going to need insurance. People are always going to need X, Y, and Z. I go, so when you look at, hey, what does it look like down the line? Like, you just kind of have to ask yourself, like, hey, where do I think things are going? And what is a skill I can have to solve problems for other people? And what am I going to not hate to do for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years? Because again, none of this stuff is possible. Again, I do know people, I guess, who show up to work and they fucking hate it.
Yeah.
And they do it day after day after day. It just seems like it's a really rough way to live your life. So if you can find something that you actually enjoy, do the grunt work as long as you have to until you can get your business to a place where you can offload it.
Well, talking about technology, you know, technology can obviously be something that's really, you know, beneficial at this point. I mean, if you look at social media just in general, you call that like a tech thing. I mean, think about what social media has done for your business. You
know? Oh, dude.
Huge, right?
Yeah, it's the well, one of the reasons people struggle to gain traction or to grow is like they randomly just post on social with no plan, or they spend too much time on it as a user and not a producer. And the thing, again, when you guys use social for your business, if it's not generating calls and trials and clients and engagement, I don't really see the point. You'd be better off just going, you know, door to door in your neighborhood. You probably get more people faster. I know that sounds weird to say, but if you're doing it consistently, it can change the scope of your life. We couldn't do any of these things without YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, and but you have to be consistent with it. And so, yeah, it's been the greatest gift because you can choose. If you're an introvert like me, you can choose to be extroverted when you want to be. You can choose to get on camera when you want to be. You can choose when to share and when to post stuff, and you can do it from, you know, damn near anywhere as long as you have an internet connection, where 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you couldn't do that. And so, yeah, everybody has access to it, so it's you're competing in a digital marketplace where the entire world is there, I go, but it's all a level playing field, and you can kind of carve your own spot in it.
Yeah, and what you follow is what, you know, the algorithm kind of shows and puts into your, you know, into your view. And so the thing is when you look at Jeremy's social, when you look at my social, there's so many great people that actually do great stuff with it. And, you know, all joking aside, I mean, at the end of the day, Jeremy's promoting, you know, Just Meats and Athletic Greens and, you know, Ruck. I mean, just all these things that are good for you. Like, what's wrong with that? You know, because there's so much other ancillary shit out there that people go and partake in and pay attention to that gets more notoriety than healthy stuff that you happen to be affiliated with and are promoting. But it's a good thing for people to see that.
Yeah, I think if you're a person who runs a business and you have, you know, offerings and things you can do to simplify their life and make life easier, you should be doing those and taking advantage of it. It's a weird because in the fitness space and the health space, you know, if you're talking like what makes the most money, I'm like, Ozempic.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the shit that really gets play. And that's just the world. And you can't really change that. I go, but if people are just going to dive in, and again, it's because they see it over and over and over again. I go, but you have the same ability to push the things, in my opinion, that are right and that do help people, but you have to be super consistent with it. And I think that's the biggest mistake in any, if it's a business, whether it's big, small, medium, especially the people who are like a solopreneur, entrepreneurs, you have to market basically 24/7, 365. Like you have to have a plan and a system to generate reviews, and revenue. And if not, like you're missing out on this huge chunk of business. Cause again, I always use like, I'm not going to keep talking shit about McDonald's, but like Coca-Cola, like everybody knows what Coca-Cola is. Nobody doesn't like, oh, I've never heard of that. Everybody knows. Yet they still run Super Bowl commercials. They have commercials all the time. They have billboards everywhere. They are always doing product placement where you see it. And if they're doing that and they're a worldwide brand, everyone knows, but you're not doing it. Yeah. The odds of you actually making it are probably slim to none.
You know, it's a good point, and it's one that I keep getting reminded of. You never know who is watching, okay? So when you put something out there and you're so fixated on, you know, how many thumbs you got or how many, you know, little bubbles, comments, it's just the wrong way, in my opinion, to go about it because I will get private messages maybe a month later, maybe a year later, maybe just somebody in, you know, continuation of having seen my stuff. And they're just like, you know, thank you for, you know, what you do. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm just living my life. And they're like, no, it's positive. It's uplifting. It's just, so you just never know who's looking. And the thing is if you have a good message and you're promoting quote unquote yourself, which is your business, which is, you know, a service that you offer and you're doing it consistently, eventually all the time, people are going to see that. And then it's going to create, you know, habits within them to either purchase from you or purchase things from you.
Well, yeah, if I'm looking at like a business and we talk like, hey, you know, what's one of the most important things we do? Obviously like be good at your craft and take care of your clients and actually, you know, solve the problems that, you know, they want solved. Outside of that, like the actual craft, what is the next thing? It's like you should be marketing it all the time and presenting it all the time. Because there is, again, the world is so different. There is so much noise out there. And if you're not doing that, you just get kind of steamrolled and people pass you by. And again, I'm not a social media person. I don't love it personally. I go, but we post on it all the platforms every day. We talk about this in our mastermind group all the time. It's not up to me to do it for these guys, but if you're not doing that at least once per day and blocking off 30 minutes, I don't know how much more important things you're doing if you're not doing that. Like what would take precedence? And that's the way I look at like mobility, right? I talk about all the time. Like if you're not doing mobility for 10 minutes a day, but you're watching 4 hours of Netflix, your priorities are kind of fucked, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's the way I think about eating healthy food and getting quality sleep, blah, blah, blah. I go, but in terms of your business, this is something that you can do. And even if it's like, well, we only have, you know, 600 people who watch our stuff. I'm like, cool. That's 600 people you have access to by just, and you can present it to them any way that they want. And they're choosing to watch you. They're choosing to follow you. They're choosing to see your stuff. I go, there's a lot of power in that. And again, it's the most competitive time to be alive and create things and run a business, but also it's the most technology you've ever had and the biggest reach you can ever have. And so it is a gift and you can use it to your advantage. Is it hard? Yes. Does it happen overnight? No. I go, but if you just keep doing it over and over and over again and you figure out and you audit along the way, this worked well, this didn't work as well, here's my target market, here's actually the people I want to work with, here's people I don't want to work with, and you start to just document and curate things towards that, like, you're going to win.
I agree. And I think as you as you get older, not just in age, but in your business development, you get better if that's kind of the route that you choose. And what I mean by that, when you brought up mobility, this kind of had struck an accord with me. It's like, been a year straight, right? You've been doing an hour of mobility a day?
Yeah, almost to the day. Like, I've been doing, since like February, I think like 16th of last year.
Yeah, and in your 20s, were you doing any?
Dude, yeah. Like a couple minutes, right. If I'm tight. And then if I'm like, if something hurt, I would roll it. But now it's like, and again, when I say it, like, oh, an hour sounds crazy. It's daunting, I guess. But if you do it in 6 minutes here, 4 minutes here, working in a gym obviously helps.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do an hour either. But everybody can do 10 minutes.
But you've created a habit. And you've created a habit that's so different from business. But by doing that, it's helped your business. You're posting your mobility. You've written platforms on mobility. You're helping your physical, which is you and your body. Because the longer your body's in a good position to post videos of split squats and all the other stuff for however long you want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember when you had, you know, you had back pain, dude. You were,
oh, dude.
That was the worst. I mean, I was in pain for you because I'd never seen, like, when you're with Jeremy and you see him, it's and especially doing MetCon with him on a Sunday, it's like almost being in the presence of Schwarzenegger, right? You know, he's just kind of, yeah, I mean.
In my version of it, sure.
Right, okay. So when you see somebody like that in pain, you're just like, holy shit, you know, you start to, you feel bad for him, and I did for you. And you worked your ass off to get yourself out of that pain. You did everything that you needed to do. You corrected, because your body is your business.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's for, I mean, even if you don't do this for a living, like,
yeah.
It just sucks, dude. And again, like, some of it you can't control. Some of it you can. Like, life is going to just throw you what it throws you, and you got to eat it. But I'm like, what is my option? Like, just sit here and be fucking miserable or try to exhaust, you know, every avenue I can to fix the problem, which is what I did, which sucks. But that's, if you looked at, like, if you had a business, like, would you not do everything in your power to make that thing run? It's the same thing with your body. But yeah, it's a daily discipline. And again, you don't have to do an hour. And I'm not telling you guys, if you run a business, to post on social 14 times a day. I go, but you can post once a day.
Yeah.
You can do 10 minutes of mobility a day. You can meet with one new client a day. Like, these are really, they're the little things.
You can write a thank you card a day. You can, you know what I'm saying, make a phone call. I mean, all these little things. And so while not all of us are in fitness, and, you know, you look at me from the typical sales, you know, job of an insurance, but if you even look at accountants, attorneys, this and that, all the financial planners. I have a financial planner that's downstairs for me, one of the most fittest guys, you know, around. Like, him and I will talk fitness if we run into each other, this and that. And the thing is that running your business and running your body can simultaneously, you know, be really good for each other. And that's one of the biggest things that I do now. Like, my first thing that I do when I wake up in the morning, it's my stretching, it's my reading time, and it's my workout. And I get all that stuff done first thing before I have to go and tackle the day. Now that I've been able to compartmentalize and push a lot of the responsibilities of paperwork and all the things that I don't want to do anymore on anybody else, I can pretty much be done with my day, get all of the stuff that I need to get done. Now, again, we're always working. As entrepreneurs, we're always, make no joke about it. I'm not saying because maybe I'm done for the day at like 2:30 or 3 that, you know, I'm not answering, you know, Rick's email at 5 o'clock because he wants to bind a policy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's there. We got phones, we got technology, but I'm not like saying I have to sit at my desk from 8 to 5. I mean, that was the old school mentality. If you weren't in the office, you weren't working. And even owners, you know, felt under that pressure that if they weren't there, their employees were just going to fly off and, you know, do whatever they do.
Well, if you're up again at 6 and you work till 2, it's 8 hours, dude.
Yeah.
Of like real work. And like most people in office, no offense, you're not really working for 8 hours.
No.
You're working for like four.
Right.
You're maybe good for three of them.
Yeah. You know? You get hour and a half lunch. You got a little water cooler time. You got jokes. You know?
But that's the point of doing this anyway. Like if you're going to work for yourself, the point is not to be the world's worst boss to yourself, which I've been guilty of many times. But it's like it's to create a lifestyle in a balance of like what is fun for you. How much money do I need to make? How much stress am I willing to take on? How much free time do I need to do the fun shit that I want to do? Otherwise, I could go work for insert whatever company, and I'm here from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, give me my vacation, here's my salary, and boom, I'm good. But we do this for lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, the total office space is what you described there. If you haven't seen Office Space, go rent that movie.
Dude, I even have one of the Bob Slidells in the top left corner.
Yeah.
What would you say you do here? It's a great movie.
One of the Bobs. But that, I mean, that's the thing. And for me, it's very freeing to be able to allow my employees to work the way that they need to work. And this was, I think this was even happening before quote unquote COVID. I think COVID just accentuated, if that's even a word, I don't know. I'm not that intelligent.
Accelerated.
Thank you. If COVID accelerated this, you know, okay, whatever. But I think this was happening before. And you have a generation of people that, I mean, you have more divorces than ever. You have a lot of single moms. You have, you know, basically kids that have a lot of quote unquote different types of, you know, health issues and needs and things that happen. So the 9 to 5 of like having Betty, you know, or Sally or even Rick, you know, show up to the office and have to be there without having to be able to do other things. It's not there anymore. And a lot of these people are good people. They're hard worker. They can get a lot done in a shorter period of time. So to be able to give them the leeway to either work from home this certain day a week or to go to this doctor appointment here or there or do this and that, knowing that they're going to make up for their time because they want to, not because you're necessarily, you know, going to be watching them, you know, because I'm on the couch at, you know, 6 o'clock, you know, with my dogs. I'm not going to be, you know, wondering if, you know, Sally's making up her time. I'm just hoping that she is, and that will result in, you know, the revenue or the clients not complaining at the end of the day.
I think that's a different mentality too of like how businesses work and how they run and how you can even, you know, run your own business. Like you might have to work some weeks 67 hours and the other week you might have to work 38 hours and it might take some of your staff, you know, 22 hours to do the job one week and 44 hours to do that job the next week. Like it really just depends. Like as long as the task gets done, I think the old school time frames we put on things just they don't exist anymore. And again, it used to take me there's some things that take me longer now, but for the most part, like these things take me less time than they ever took me because you have systems set up in place. And that's where a lot of businesses tend to fail because there is no system. It's just people kind of trying to just slap things together and there really is no rhyme or reason to it. But once you get a system down with you and your team, things do start to run more efficiently. And that's where you get to take, you know, advantage of like, you know, the lifestyle benefits of being your own boss. But it does take time, obviously, to get there.
So systems, I'm glad you brought that up. So a plug for my podcast On the D-Lo. So just today I released my friend Liz, and Liz is a systems creator. And she came into my office, created a bunch of systems in Google Sheets on processes and how things should be, you know, how we do things. When a new quote comes in, it goes here, here, here. When this comes in, it goes here. And it's made a world of difference to be able to duplicate and to do that. And what it's done is it's created more efficiencies, which has bought more time, which has created more freedom and more revenue. And Liz's claim to fame, which is kind of cool, is that she started her businesses with pet grooming stores. And she had one pet grooming store, and she went and got I'm trying to remember, but we'll just 18% loan. From the bank, 18%. Nobody would lend her money. She had nothing, and she started from scratch. It's a really cool story. So she goes, gets an 18% loan for, you know, however many hundreds of thousands of dollars to go buy this pet grooming place. And she does it. She works in it. She does all this stuff. And then she goes to open up her second location. And then she's kind of reduplicating all the things she did with the first location. And it's like, it was like starting over, having to duplicate this and that. Finally, she was like, you know what? I'm just going to come up with systems to make sure that people know if somebody new comes in, here's where you go, this is what you do, and this is how you do it. And so she now has 10 locations. She lives, you're going to love this. She lives in Benson, Arizona, which is like a good 3 hours away. It's kind of near Tucson.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah, that's why. And she's got like 100 acres, okay? 100 acres, dude. She's got like she's got goats. Check this out. I wore my goat shirt for you today.
Well, I like that.
Huh? The goat, right?
Yeah, she basically has Yellowstone.
So she's got, yeah, she's got Yellowstone. She's got goats, dogs, cats. I mean, all these things that, you know, run around, 100 acres, nice little house. I mean, you look on her Instagram, there's nothing there but, you know, basically space. And she has not been back to her pet store, her grooming stores, probably in the last 2 years. Because she's got one person in there that she entrusts that has helped put those systems in place, and all 10 of them are generating revenue. I mean, that's amazing.
It's tough to do.
It is tough to do.
Yeah.
And another guest I just had, but it hasn't been released yet, is Craig DeMarco. Craig DeMarco is the founder of Postinos.
Oh, for people who don't know, how do you, I mean, Heather's actually here somewhere. It's like her favorite place.
Yeah.
It's basically bruschetta and wine.
That's it.
Yeah.
It originally started just as like a little wine bar in Arcadia.
Yeah. No, that's my favorite one.
No desire to do food, nothing like that. They refurbish these old, I mean, this one is a old post office. And, you know, Craig and I were talking yesterday, and Heather, I'll send her this podcast once we release it. But Craig talks about eventually he brings in a lady named Lauren Bailey, and Lauren becomes his business partner along with Craig and his wife. And Lauren comes in, implements all these systems. And so they go from one Postinos to now they have 25, and they're spreading like wildflower across the U.S. But again, systems. They do exact same thing in every place. It's predictable.
And the product's good.
The product's great.
Yeah, and I'm not even a bread person, but Heather will like Uber eats it to our house, and I'm like, this is legit. I don't drink wine, but it's they are good, man.
Yeah.
But again, it's a system. You set it up. You can replicate it. I guess if you were looking at like when you see people, what's the biggest mistake that people make when they jump into entrepreneurship, whether it be early on or once they actually get established?
Biggest mistake, I think, a lot of times is that they try to do everything themselves.
Like juggling too many things at once.
Too many things at once. And then what ends up happening is they do a lot of the stuff that they don't like doing, and then they get burnt out and they say, this isn't for me. And it can be a scary thing because, you know, when you're starting out, you have no money. And so it's kind of like, it's this catch 22. It's like, I got to do all the things. I get it, you know, but then there has to become a point where, and you talk about this all the time and very, you know, eloquently, there's got to be a time where you start making money. If you don't, then you probably sucking at it and need to do something else. And when you start to make that money, you start putting that money aside. I think I talked about this in the mastermind. I read a book called Profit First. And I don't really follow the tools or the modules to it, but I did get something out of it to where I started a separate bank account. And this separate bank account is for basically paying my taxes because, you know, the U.S. government takes pretty much about 90% of everything that I make. Being sarcastic, not really.
I mean, so, when you really start to figure out your taxes on your cell phone and your food and your car and your home, the house that you own, you still have to pay taxes on it.
Everything.
Till you're dead.
Yeah, till you're dead.
So, anyways.
So I take money and again, biggest mistake is that they don't take this money and put it aside. They end up spending it on stupid shit. And this stupid shit may give them this sense of fulfillment, you know, in the moment. And then it's like, oh, I got this car that does, you know, goes from A to B, no different than the car that might be $50,000 less.
Yeah.
Still goes A to B. Again, you talk about this all the time. And you could have taken that $50,000, put it back in your business, and, you know, started hiring people to do the shit that you don't want to do while you stayed good at, you stayed doing the things that you love doing, therefore generating more income and parlaying on that income incrementally. And then all of a sudden, you're making good money.
Yeah, I mean, I say it all the time, like, people are being fancy before they can be fancy. And I'm not against buying a nice car or doing the things you have to do. I go, but if you're early on in this building phase, I'm like, I would invest most of the money into yourself versus even your 401k or whatever cryptocurrency you're into, or even like real estate, depending on if you can get into the market, it'd be great. But if not, like, investing into you, because you're the biggest money maker that you're going to have. Like, it's going to be you. Like, everything will drive from you. And once you can do that and say, hey, I can maybe drive a shittier car, or I can delay some of these things to build this thing up. So in 3 years from now or 5 years from now, this thing can pay me when I'm at home on a Thursday. That would be ideal. Like, you want to be getting money, even though you're actively managing it or running it. You don't have to physically be doing all of the hard labor 24/7 to have the, because that's a business. If you don't do that, you just have a job. And then essentially you have a really fucking hard job that all the time. You're doing a bunch of jobs you really don't fucking like. And to me, like, that's not what success is. And again, it's hard to relinquish control and do these things. I go, but you have to get to the point of, like, asking yourself, what is the point of me working for myself? What is the point of this business? And if it's just to drive me into the ground and make me exhausted and tired, I'm like, that's not a business, friends. It's just a really, really rough job you have.
You might as well go work somewhere. Turn it off at 5.
Way
better. And yeah, totally way better. And the thing is, and we hear it all the time, and I'll just say it again. At some point when the business starts, you know, working you and not working for you, it's like, what am I doing? And the thing is I can still remember, and I've journaled all this and I've logged my sales over years and this and that. And I will always look back to find out where I came from, because I think it's very important for us to put in perspective of where we're at now and where we came from. And that's, you know, again, it gives us that sense of, you know, completion to an aspect of my life, at least. And it works for me, because there was a good decade, if not more, where I didn't even pay myself. I paid myself enough to, you know, pay my $600 a month condo payment at the point, okay, at Squaw Peak, which was a cave, okay? It was like a one-bedroom little cave, and I was like a little hobbit that would come in there and, you know, live in my cave. And I drove the minivan, as I told you on another podcast. And I just kept putting all the money back in the business, never paid myself, you know, just enough to survive. And I'm not saying that everybody has to do that or that's going to be everybody's situation, because, you know, I probably wasn't the smartest entrepreneur that there was. I just kind of chose to work and I made a lot of bad decisions on things that I bought for the business, not things that I bought for myself, but things that I bought for the business that I thought maybe I needed to have, and for certain people that I brought into the business that just, you know, kind of, you know, they took from me, but I let them take from me. I take full responsibility for all of that, but I learned from all of that. And so my second decade into the business was a lot better. And I finally got to a point where now I got to reap the rewards. Now I need to pay myself. And it was kind of cool, because once I started paying myself healthily, there was more than enough money to be able to pay everybody else and to give them benefits and to do all the other stuff. So I just had to believe in that process that I eventually got to, and it's a beautiful thing that's come.
I mean, for a lot of people, it's just, hey, can I delay gratification for some personal things today so the future me can benefit from all the foundational work that we're laying? And two, how can I scale this in any way so it can replicate where you're not just trading time for money? Because again, that's just a job. And some people, like, that's what it is. Like, if you're a chiropractor and you're a one-man show, it's kind of what you do. Now, hopefully you have maybe an office assistant or a tech or somebody who helps you. But if not, like, it's just you doing you. And there's nothing wrong with that. I go, but that's just a job. You're not ever really making any money while you're not actively doing something. And that seems exhausting to me, like an OT would be, or a physical therapist would be. Or if you are just an insurance guy and you're just a solo dude and you have nothing else, or if you're just a real estate agent and you have nobody else, and those things are all fine. I go, but if I'm not here today, like on Friday morning, I'm not here yet. Probably 100 people came in here and got work put in. The business still made money. Everybody here got paid. A bunch of things got done, but I didn't physically have to do them. That, my friends, is a system. That's something that you can scale. Now, that's how businesses run. You can do that digitally or obviously in person, but a lot of people kind of get into this and think, I'm going to do all the things. And I'm like, no, dude. I'm like, try to set yourself up by delaying some of these personal things so the business can grow and that can thrive and that can make money. And then it will pay you on the back end to buy all the fancy shit that you may or may not want when the time actually comes.
You really said something that resonated with me, and believe it or not, it's about the chiropractor thing. So this is a true example, and I've witnessed this with my own eyes. So I've been going to the same chiropractor, Begin Wellness, Dr. Kyle Collins, amazing dude. My mom found him. My mom finds all my doctors because my mom's like a hip ex-hippie, natural, you know, whatever, and he's a upper Atlas and blah, blah, blah. He had like the specialty. Anyways, the point being is that I've been going to him maybe 6 years now, but just to watch the evolution of what he's done in 6 years. And mind you, chiropractic, you know, work is very personal. Like they're putting their hands on you and they're moving your body in a way that you better trust the hell out of them, you know? Because it's like, I still, even though I've been going there 6 years, I still get nervous when I'm on the table. It's like, time to adjust you. And I'm like, oh, shit. You know, I'm just
it's your spine. It's kind of important.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of, you know. And, but the thing is that, you know, Dr. Collins, when I first went to him, it was just him. It was him and one lady up front, and that's it. And I was just, to Jeremy's point, it's this one dude that has to work on just so many people during the course of the day and only so many hours and so many times you can utilize your hands and, you know, get in there. So now the progression, he brought in another doctor. And of course, again, it's very personal. So think about this. You're going to this chiropractor. You're used to him touching you for the last, you know, 2-3 years. You're used to the way that, you know, he's going to adjust you. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you're going to see Bill today. You're like, no, I'm not, you know? And it's like, so then you have to put up with that. And then eventually you're going to, you know, find that, that group of people that are okay with seeing Bill. And then Bill's got to, you know, establish that trust. And then all of a sudden Jerry comes in, you know, a third guy. And again, I've been here 6 years. And I remember one day, like, you know, Jerry was supposed to see me. I'm like, no, Jerry's not going to see me. I'm like, I'm sticking, you know, I'll just wait, you know, sort of thing. But the thing is that other people were okay with seeing Jerry. They were okay with seeing Bill. And guess what? Now Dr. Collins, he gets to not work on Fridays. He is, you know, he bought a farm up in Payson, and he's going to start working on the farm. And he's doing all the – and I have mad respect for somebody because I watch that, and I watch the transition of it and, like, with what I'm doing with my business. Now, granted, I'm the owner and the only salesperson in my business, but all 12 of my coworkers, okay, they all have a license to sell. They all have a license to talk to the client. They all have a license to make them feel as comfortable as I would because of the knowledge I've handed down to them, which allows me to just basically do a mastermind and hang out with you on a Friday.
Which, again, is still part of your business.
Exactly.
Still makes money, I go, but it's just, it's not how we always traditionally thought about it. And again, for most people, the goal is to scale and create a multiple revenue streams, work with multiple people, but just make life easier in general. Because a lot of times we just get so caught up in like, oh, we're going to build it, we're going to build it, we're going to build it, yet we don't actually reinvest the money back into our system and our structure to actually allow us, in my opinion, what's the most important thing of this life is just overall lifestyle. Allowing you to spend time with your friends and your family and have enough money to be safe and secure and work a schedule that you don't absolutely hate for the next 4 decades or however long you're going to run your business for. So, simple stuff, dude. Speaking of that, I have an acupuncture appointment today, too.
Oh.
I go to a guy. He has an office worker, but I think he's the only guy who does it.
Where's it at?
It's like 9 minutes from here.
Yeah.
Almost like Bell and Scottsdale Road.
Do you like the acupuncture?
I fall asleep every time I go.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a chill. He's a little different. I've been to the ones where they actually hook you up to electrodes and like... this one's like more... He just puts like a heat lamp on and then sticks you all the places. He's huge into the, you know, like certified health nut, Qigong.
Yeah.
Like rest, relax. Like he talks all that crazy kind of shit, which I don't mind it though, but yeah. It's relaxing.
Oh, that's great.
Because during the day, like I could never really fall asleep for the most part. Now my cleaning lady's fucking here, dude. This has just been a nightmare of a day. Anyways, I go there and like I literally will just zonk out. So they go in there, he does his little talk, kind of walks you through, and then is like sticks you with everything, and then fall asleep. Comes back in, does his little talk, does a little Qigong,
yeah,
and you're good to go.
That is awesome. Well, you introduced me to your massage place, which I love as well.
Oh, dude, that's a anybody, I think you need to invest in those things in yourself. Nothing to do with this podcast, but
yeah,
get massage
done. Invest in yourself.
Yeah, dude. I just think if we can't afford the luxuries to do that at some point, like to me, I'm like, it makes you run better. It makes your business run better.
Yeah.
And like that's what this all is about.
All right. So can we wrap this up with something that I have in mind here?
Yeah, yeah. Can you tell her to just chill out? Tell her to be quiet for 3 minutes.
I thought this place was already clean when I walked in. I thought she already came. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Dude, this has just been just a train wreck of a day.
All right. So I want to leave with this, and this is a privy to Jeremy's 40 years on Earth and my 50 years on Earth, but I think these are really good just kind of things that I downloaded. So okay, I'm gonna start with this. We're not on this earth for very long.
No.
No. And the thing is that when you look at the perspective of time and time balance, and like Jeremy had alluded to earlier in this podcast, like you can't buy time. Once you lose it, it's gone. You know?
Sadly, yeah.
Sadly. And has now at this age, time is faster. Wouldn't you agree?
And it feels like it for sure. If it's not like in your head, it just feels like it's going a million. Like, what do they say? Like long days, fast years.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's pretty crazy. And think about how many summers we have left on Earth, or, you know, how many times we have left with our parents. I mean, all these things that it's
depressing as fuck.
Yeah, it's really sad. Our priorities are different.
100%.
100%.
Not even close.
Yeah.
To the things I used to think were cool and care about versus the things that I think are cool and care about now.
My 40th birthday, it was a big thing with Darth Vader, drinking. I was at Modern Margarita. I needed all the people there. I needed, you know what I did for 50? I had a Reiki session and I went to had sushi with my wife alone. It was perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Sounds wild.
Into the sunset. Yeah. Wow. Crazy. No drinks. Mistakes are opportunities, but it's more beneficial at this point to make less of them.
Yeah, I would say so. Or just not catastrophic ones.
Yeah.
It's like, God, who was it? Who was here? Maybe it was John Goodman or somebody. Or even like Stephen Cole was just here talking about Bitcoin. I think John actually said the same thing. He's like, and he's a Bitcoin proponent too, and this is not telling you guys to go buy Bitcoin. I don't care what you do. But he said, I can lose money. I just can't lose everything at this point. He goes, I've been building this for so long. I can lose a lot, but I can't lose everything. And so you can take losses. I think the failures are great learning opportunities, but the catastrophic ones at this point I try to avoid because I don't want to have to build back from damn near nothing. You're not young enough and have as much energy and you don't give a shit.
We're too old to build back better.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, the body moves, sleeps, breathes completely differently than where we were at when we were in our 20s.
Yeah, I mean, I joke here all the time. I'm like, when you're 27, you can work for 16 hours, train for 2 hours, you know, sleep for a handful of minutes and come up and go to work the next day. As you get older, you can't do that. Your body literally just doesn't work with you the same way. And there's just miles. You got miles on you, man. And I think your bandwidth to give a shit about the stuff or to put up with shit dwindles, at least mine does, your patience for things. And I think if you look at like even the studies, we're only good for about probably 4 hours a day of like legit focused, concentrated work. After that, not that you can't get work done, but you're just not as sharp. And over time, like if you're 56 years old versus 22 years old, like there is a difference.
Yeah.
Like just hormonally and physically, the body does not recover the way that it once did, especially if you don't take, you know, pristine care of it. And so you just have to, you got to, you know your limits, Batman.
So no matter what, on Sunday at MetCon, I'm just not biking. I'm not assault biking more than Jeff. It's just not happening.
No, I mean, at some point you have to be like, you know, again, I use the LeBron example all the time. Like LeBron at 25 is not the same as LeBron at 39. Yeah. They're just different, dude. As great as you might be, physically, some things do go. Now, mentally, you might gain an edge here or there, but no matter who you are, and no matter what it is, Father Time is sadly undefeated.
And we'll blaze through the rest of these. Okay, and just like what you had said, you are more aware but less to care about what people think. Eating right is just mandatory.
I mean, if you give a shit.
If you give a shit.
About how you feel.
Your family is everything.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know these. Without it, and without your community, what is this about? Like, if your goal is, hey, I'm going to run this business, but I'm going to alienate my entire family and all my friends fucking hate me, but I have $30 million, I'm like, what is the point of that?
What's the point? Absolutely. Your circle is very large, yet immensely small.
Yeah. Like, you're, I always say, like, levels. Like, yep. Your levels of friends. Like, the people who can text you and you can say anything to are the people you have to, like, put a governor on your comments.
Choose wisely who you spend time with, because, again, time's limited. Don't fear sharing what you have learned. Can't take it with you. You'll like this one. Dogs are pure love.
Dude.
Dogs are God.
Yeah. If I could give you a top 10 fitness tip, one would be buy a dog.
Buy a dog. Work with passion. Show up. Do what fuels you. Live your dreams with no second guessing or regrets. Spend your money responsibly. And I'm starting to joke about this now. I'm going to spend my money. I'm not leaving a bunch of money for my fucking kids. I'm going to enjoy my money and live life.
Well, I mean, like, you earned it. Like,
right.
Why do they? What would
They'll be good. Be nice to people.
I mean, what else is there?
Right. Engage when you can. You don't, you know, yeah. Have to.
know your bandwidth.
Know your bandwidth. Own who you are. Don't be ashamed. Do a hobby or hobbies. Don't wait. You know, like I tell everybody, I play guitar on Thursdays at 3:30. You know, just always trying to find little things to do because I don't know when I'm going to be able to do it again.
Well, no. And if you want to take a trip to Italy, don't say you're going to do it in 15 years.
Yeah.
Like just fucking
go do it.
Book the trip, dude.
And then my last piece of 50 wisdom or knowledge is you still have time. And what I mean by that is I don't even recognize the age. You know, it's fun to say in a number and this and that. And it's like, cool. And I think I say it because I see myself literally as just getting started. As a kid that's in his 20s, that's excited, that has resources and tools and all this time, like I said, has gone by fast. But at the end of the day, you still have time. Like Martha Stewart didn't even start until she was like 55.
I think like Colonel Sanders was like 70 years old.
Yeah.
Before KFC became a thing. And I think he went to like, what did he get turned down by, like, 1,000 places or 2,000. It's like some crazy number. Like almost 1,000 restaurants told him to get bent. And then like the 1,008th place is like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
We'll hook up with your chicken recipe.
Best mashed potatoes ever.
As a kid, man, I was addicted.
Here we go back into fast food. We started it.
But no, hopefully that's been helpful for you guys. At least, or just hearing two old dudes talk shit about business and life. In general.
Absolutely. So promote the mastermind. So we are.
Yeah. If you guys, again, if you're in a corporate America, solopreneur, entrepreneur, you're looking to do something a little bit different and you want to be surrounded by a group of people who have similar goals and have built businesses and are in business right now, we do have a mastermind group. It's just a built different mastermind. The link is in the show notes. We meet virtually every single week. We talk through you guys. You can ask us any questions throughout the week. We have a video sharing platform and Facebook that we do. You have access to Dave and myself, our entire circle of people, and all the people we work with. So to me, I mean, that I think is worth it alone to be one phone call away from a lot of the people who have done things and built businesses, you know, worth millions of dollars. I think it's a unique opportunity and it's something that we're obviously passionate about and talk about and have lived for multiple decades and just fortunate enough to be able to share that with a lot of you guys. So.
Yeah, and it's a very limited group. I mean, we're just looking for a few, you know, few more people that we have space for if anybody's interested. But I got to tell you, the people that are in the group now that you'll get to meet beyond Jeremy and I, they're all amazing, and they're a lot of fun, and they have successful businesses, and it's just a good time. So
yeah, and these groups have changed my life, and that's why we started this one, to hopefully help change a bunch of yours as well. So.
Cool.
If you guys are interested, links in the show notes, check it out. Otherwise, you guys can pick up the app, as always. And if you do want to check out Just Meats, they got 25% off right now. And obviously, if you want a free sample of AG1, you know, just hit me up and ask. Otherwise, every other sponsor is in the show notes. And hopefully, you guys got some value from this, or at least a laugh or two.
A laugh or two.
Along the way. Thanks, brother, as always.
Awesome.
This
Thank
is great.
You, brother. See you at MetCon.
Yeah, you guys follow D-Lo's stuff. Where's your Instagram in the podcast?
At I Am The D-Lo is the IG, and then the podcast is On The D-Lo. So.
Boom. You guys give him a follow. Well worth it. If nothing else, you get a laugh or two along the way. So appreciate it as always, brother.
Cool.
If you guys are on Spotify, drop it a 5-star, leave a comment. If you're on Apple Podcasts, drop me a 5-star, leave a comment there. I would appreciate it. And until next time, you guys eat well, train hard, be nice to people, and please keep doing shit you love with people you enjoy because your life is too short not to. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.